Blog Talk Radio.
Second countdown.
I don't know, but it looks like it's going already.
Let me check something. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I guess somehow I just missed the countdown. Maybe it didn't do it audibly or something. But well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Preacher and the Miracle Man show here on this Wednesday, April 24th, 2019. Can you believe that it's already, that there's only 6 days and then May will be here? This went faster than February. February is supposed to go by faster because it's the shortest month, don't you think? Wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
This went faster than February, and I find that hard to believe. January always goes by slow, and of course this year is no exception, especially when you have that polar vortex at the end of the month. Praise God, we're so glad you could join us today here at Miracle Man. Wherever you may be, however you may be accessing the show on the internet, whether it be on a smartphone or, sorry, a laptop or a tablet, or if you're old school, I said old school, you're doing it on a laptop. A desktop. And those desktops, I tell you, are pretty old school. You don't see too many of those anymore. Do you?
Nope.
I don't know how they went obsolete so quick. They did. And the last couple of years, for example, believe it or not, this is crazy. More than half the online shopping, both of the last two Christmases, was mobile traffic, be it on phones, tablets, and the like. It was not computers. Because so many people these days just have everything on their phone. And if not their phone, their tablet. Because it all depends on, you know, what all you want. But my point is, I'm so glad you joined us. Whatever method you used to get on the program tonight. And I know God's going to bless you regardless of what method you chose. And I don't have to guess it or try to think about it or any of that, because I know for sure he will bless him. So thinking of something here. Tonight, I'm going to get back into 2 Samuel and get back to these old Bible heroes of, these Bible heroes of the Old Testament. And for the most part in 2 Samuel, it's mainly about David as the hero. And then after we're done with this, we'll go into the Kings and then Second Chronicles. Or I might, after I finish this book, I'll come back. I might come back. I'd probably come. I might, after we're done with 2 Samuel, I might put the Old Testament heroes on hold and focus on the book of Acts and what all happened there in the book of Acts. Or I might do Psalms and Proverbs, starting with Psalms and then getting into Proverbs, because there is some great stuff in both of those books. There's some great lessons to be learned. There's a lot of great things in both of them. So, not sure for sure what I'm going to do. I also want to bring something to your attention right now. And what I'm about to say is not just for a pastor. It's not just for me. It's for any of you listen to this program right now. So, last night, I was listening to an R.W. Schambach sermon from way back 25 years ago at Dominion Camp Meeting, 1993 at World Harvest Church. By the way, There is some great stuff on YouTube from Dominion Camp Meetings of the past on YouTube. One channel is called Vince Fetter, and then the other is a guy named David Jones. And combined between the two, there's a lot of the old worship songs they used to do back then. And by the way, I haven't even listened to all of them. I'll just listen to some, but many of these were live right there from World Harvest Church. I wish Mark Barkley had that. Like, some of the full sermons from, like, quite a few different years. They don't have to have everything he's done in the last 30 years by any means. Not even 10% of it, by the way. That would be too exhaustive. But just kind of an archive, some from maybe 10 years ago, maybe some newer ones, maybe some from 20 years ago, back through the 90s, and then maybe a few 80s. But I'm going to get to the point. My point is, Art of Eschenbach was on this crusade. And at a certain crusade he was doing, he laid his hands on everyone in that building. 7,000 people. He lays his hands on everybody. Went home exhausted. I mean, went to the hotel room exhausted. A couple times he slipped into bed with his clothes on. Then after the third night, guide wakes up Brother Eschenbach. And here's what he tells him. He tells him, Brother Eschenbach, I'm sure he called him by his full first name, whatever, but what did it say? Brother Eschenbach? I've noticed that the last couple of days that you are spending so much time with my people and ministering to my people and everything, and not enough time with me, praying to me. You know, not focusing on our relationship with you and me. I'm sure he was still praying. The anointing was on him. Obviously, miracles were taking place. Because the anointing that was on Brother Eschenbach was so powerful. I'm a witness to that. Brother Eschenbach was in our church once back in 98. He laid his hands on me. And he was either right then or shortly after that I started speaking in tongues. And my point is, God basically told Brother Eschenbach, you know, you can still spend. And Eschenbach says, well, Lord, you have given me all this responsibility to travel, to do these crusades, and do all these crusades and minister to all these people. You've directed me at times to lay hands on everybody in there and not just select people who are sick. And God said, well, sir, that's true. But in all that, you're going to want to make sure you spend more time with me. And you have a relationship with me. And not just those people. And should be that way for all of them. Like, if you serve in the church in various areas, you want to be prayed up. Don't just go in there and do that thing. Go home, slip into bed. Don't bother praying. No, you want to spend time with God. Yeah. You do. And that's just a little golden nugget that was on my spirit. I wanted to share it right now rather than later because I just didn't feel like I should let that go. Because I felt like it was very important. And by the way, in case you didn't get the memo, the Word of God never gets old. And by the way, it's still relevant today. Even if I had the first sermon Mark T. Barclay ever preached, it would still be relevant. And you know, the Bible, the first text of the Bible, the texts of the Bible were written many, 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 many years ago. The King James Version, 1611, or whatever it was. So that's been around for like 500 years. No, 408 years. And that thing I told you about from Shambach was 25 years ago. So that pales in comparison. It really pales in comparison. By the way, how many years ago it was doesn't matter. What matters is that that was in my spirit. And I figured we could all use that golden nugget, including myself, including those of you listening to this show. Praise God. Praise God. I was just thinking about it. Now, I'm sorry, but that thing fell sometimes. Just dealing with this little mess here, getting it cleaned up. But another little nugget that just came to my mind. No, I forgot. If it comes to me later, I'll share it. But, so, as to where I'm at, I'm here at the McDonald's here on South Saginaw Road at 1711 South Saginaw, across the road from a Kmart. One of the few Kmarts that's left. I don't know how long that's going to last, but we'll see. I am southeast of a Disability Network of Mid-Michigan office and northwest of a Marathon Admiral gas station. Somebody that I know likes to call it a petrol station, and I kind of like that. I love it, personally, petrol station. I like that. We're northwest of that, and I'm kind of near the front of the restaurant. so you can come in and say hi to me? Huh? Yeah. All right. Now. Here is Did you hear, Cassidy, about those new menu items McDonald's going to debut?
No, I didn't.
One of them is a McFlurry from the Netherlands. I forget exactly what it's called. Something waffle. Another is an extreme bacon Big Mac from... somewhere in Europe. No, Spain. Another is cheesy bacon fries from Australia. This is cheese and bacon fried into the fries, so it's a bit different. And then a chicken mozzarella and tomato sandwich from Canada. I'm going to assume it'll be available in both crispy and grilled options. That'll be coming out in June. I'm going to assume late June. So probably the week of June 24th. Some point during that week. So be on the lookout for that. Now, I want to encourage you listeners to please tell everyone you know about this great show. As many people as you can that you know of, how they can be a part of this great show. I'll give a real brief explanation because we're going to pray and then I'm going to get right into the Word of God. And then there's something the Lord wants me to deal with. So I'll do that. And then we got some sports to talk about. So we're just going to keep flowing along. So in a nutshell, what you can tell them to do is go to blogtalkradio.com. And in the search bar, type in Upfront Entertainment. Once you type in Upfront Entertainment, you'll see a link that says Live in Large. Then you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. Then you'll see another button once you click on that, and it says Follow, the Follow button. And what's going to happen is you're going to start getting notified as we get ready to do our shows. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We run this show from 6:30 till about 8 o'clock. And we have a good time. We have a number also where you can call into the Miracle Man to discuss generally anything you want to talk about, as long as it is not political. If it's political, I'm going to tell you to pray for those who have authority over you and to vote next time. And we'll just see. Now, we have a tone. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that's 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt. When you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken through a call screener. And then my assistant will let me know we have a caller. And then I'm going to let you on the air. We can discuss generally whatever you'd like to discuss. Hopefully we can get some great callers tonight. We are going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great show tonight. I thank you for these listeners who have made the choice to be a part of this great choice program, wherever they may be, however they may be accessing this program. I just thank you that your hand is on their life, on all of our lives, Jesus. And I just thank you that you lead us and guide us. And may this word go forth with boldness and simplicity, Lord God. I thank you that you use me as an oracle tonight. And I confess over this program right now that that finances come into this program, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that increases in listenership come to this program, and most importantly, souls come into this program. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen. Open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And then you can go ahead and put a bookmark in 2 Samuel 6. Because we're going to read from 5 and 6 tonight. Praise God. And by the way, I want to remind you that to please follow along. I don't want you to be a spectator for this next little bit. If I sing, when I sing later, if you know the lyrics to the song I'm going to sing, you go ahead and sing with me. As I'm studying the Bible, reading these verses, you go ahead and study with me. When I pray, if I pray unto God, you pray unto God with me. Whatever I do here at this McDonald's, you do wherever you are as unto the Lord. Amen. We are in chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, verse 1. In this chapter, this is where David becomes king over all of Israel. All of the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.' When all the elders of Israel to King David at Hebron, the king made a compact with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Hebron. He reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned over all of Israel and Judah 33 years. So he reigned from in Israel from the time he was 30 to the time he was 70. That's a good 40-year long reign. Verse 6 now. This, where I'm gonna, what I'm about to read you, is where King David conquers Jerusalem. The king and his men march to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites who lived there. The Jebusites said to David, "You will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off." They thought, "David cannot get in here." Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, the city of David. On that day, David said, "Anyone who conquers the Jebusites will have to use the water shaft to reach through lame and blind, who are David's enemies." That is why they say, the quote, this is quotation mark, "the blind and lame will not enter the palace." David then took up residence in the fortress and called it the City of David. He built up the area around it from the supporting terraces inward, and he became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him. Now, Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David along with cedar logs and carpenters and stonemasons, and they built a place for David. And David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. After he left Hebron, David took more concubines and wives in Jerusalem, and more sons and daughters were born to him. These are the names of the children born to him there: Shemua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Abher, Yashma, Nepheg, Japhia, Eliashama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. Verse 17 now. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and had spread out in the valley of Ephraim. So David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord answered him, "Go, and I will surely hand the Philistines over to you." So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, "As waters break up, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me." So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off. once more, the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, "Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army." David did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. We're into chapter 6 now. David again brought together out of Israel chosen men, 30,000 in all. He and all his men set out from Bela and Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim that are on the ark. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahiel, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it. And Ahiel was walking in front of it. David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with songs and with harps, lyres, tambourines, sistrums, and when they came to the threshing floor of Naaman, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the Ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down and he died right there beside the Ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. And to this day, that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the Ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the Ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed, whom the Gideonite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed, whom the Gittite, for 3 months. And the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed, women and everything he has, because of the Ark of God." So David went down and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed into the city of David, was rejoicing. When those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord. With shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Uzziah, daughter of Saul, a widow. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent of David. David pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person. The whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. And when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today by robbing the sight of slave girls with his servants as any vulgar fellow today." David said, "Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more indignified than this. And I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But to those slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. So I'm going to go on a little bit. I want to read on God's promise to David. And then we're going to talk about this. After the king was settled in his place, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a place of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling, being a nomad. Nomad, you know, someone who doesn't have an abode or house. In which she stayed. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of those rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people, Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now, I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since that time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all of your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you when your days are over and you rest with your fathers. I will raise up your offspring to succeed you. He will come from your own body. You will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish that throne with his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before men. Your throne will be established forever. Nathan reported to David all of the words of this entire revelation. All right. Okay. So, you have David in chapter 5. You have David being appointed God. God appointed David king in 2 Samuel 5. We read about that. And David reigned he was 30 years old when he became king. He reigned in one place for 7 years, and then he reigned somewhere else for 33. Somewhere else in Israel for 33 years. So a total of 40 years. So he reigned from when he was 30 to 70. That's pretty good reign. You're going to be a king, 40 years. But God used him in so many mighty ways. And right there in chapter 5 again, he defeated the Philistines again. Then we go into chapter 6. What you see going on in chapter 6 is the Ark of the Lord being brought up. The Ark of the Lord was brought up from it was brought to Jerusalem. It is called the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubims that are on the ark. And then there was a guy named a man named, and I got another guy named Ahio. Kind of sounds like Ohio.
Yeah.
He was a buck. So we'll just call. Well, you know what? I think just for the case of this sermon, Lord God, let me just think here. I think I should be the only one allowed to call that Ahio guy Mr. Buckeye. So there was Uzzah and Mr. Buckeye, who were the sons of Abinadab. And they were guiding the cart that had the Ark of God on it. And then I'm just reading over these, and then I just want to show you this Uzzah and what he did. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the Ark of God because the oxen stumbled. No one was supposed to take hold of the Ark of God. What he did, Uzzah did, he died right there in front of the Ark. Just for taking hold of the Ark. All he did was take a hold of the Ark. But obviously, it was clear that he was not to do that. David got angry at God. The place got called Perez Uzzah. And then David took the ark into the house of Obed, and it stayed there for 3 months. Then David saw that Obed and Obed's family was being blessed so greatly and David got the ark, brought it up to Jerusalem, you know, the city of David at that time. And everyone was shouting, clapping. They were praising God. Saul's daughter, she hated it. She hated it. She was not having one bit of it. She was so not happy. And she didn't think he should have done what he did. She ended up having no kids because of what she did to him. No kids. And then God talks to Nathan about David in chapter 7, as we read. He was basically asking, why do you build a house for me thinking I'm going to live in it? I don't mean, and as I would say, I don't mean like a house, like with bedrooms in that. I mean, like, David apparently had built, like, a house with, like, bedrooms in that. But he was like, it's not about that. I go from place to place and live in tents. And that, I'm a nomad. Let me make sure I understood that correctly. God said, are you right to build me a house to dwell in? And he said, I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt. He lived in tents and traveled from place to place. He was a nomad. As I said, a nomad is just someone who is always going from place to place. Maybe for some people that's their job, is to go to place like that. And God was with them wherever he went. But God used David for so many things. And he was just a great man of God. Was he perfect? Of course not. And we're going to get to dealing with that. Now, this morning as I was making some notes, kind of thinking about what I was going to teach on tonight, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, told me. Now, whatever you do tonight, I want you to pray for the sick. I want you to minister to them. If by singing a song. And I want you to quote a couple of verses from my word. In one verse I can think of says, I am the God that healeth thee. I am the God, your healer. Second Peter 2:24. That's another great one. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And with his stripes, we are. Mark 16, near the end of the chapter, it says, it's the Great Commission talking to us. And it says, and then there it says, they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will be healed. The sick will be healed when hands are laid upon them. There's a lot more verses on healing, but I just chose to give you those three for tonight. Now, I want to sing a song. I don't know who originally wrote it, but I know Daniel Eric Groves, who's been to my church a few times, used to sing this song. He hasn't been in my church in a while, but I'm sure he still sings it here and there. It's called Freedom Is Here. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. I believe it. Healing is here. Healing is here. Yes, it is. Healing is here. I receive it. I lift my hands to the heaven. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Hallelujah. Jesus is here. I believe it. Healing is here. Healing is here. Yes, it is. Healing is here. And I receive it. Lift my hands to the heaven. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Sickness can't stay any longer. The perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. Pause a second. Listeners, if you believe in God for healing in your body, on your mind, you should be singing these lyrics. And taking authority over your infirmity. You got to take authority over that thing. God doesn't want you to stay sick. God wants you healed. Amen. God wants you healed. Many times it talks about Jesus went about healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Today's age, we could say that includes cancer, heart disease, blindness, deafness, colds, flus, everything. Now I'm going to sing that bridge again. I want you listeners listening at home to sing it, and I want you to mean it with everything that's in you. Take authority over that sickness right now. If there's sickness in that body, if there's disease in it, if there's pain in it, you're dealing with chronic back pain, God wants to heal you of that. Yeah, he does. And no, I don't mean it like a sarcastic yeah at all. I'm telling the truth. I just know I'm helping some people. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. Fear will leave you. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. I lift my hands to the heaven. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Oh, I trust in you, Lord. Yes, Father God. Oh, Father God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your healing power being manifested in these bodies. All these people, you're healing infirmities. Thank you for your healing power. I command sickness and disease to leave these bodies right now in the name of Jesus. Pain, go. Jesus, live in us. Sickness, go. Die. Healing power, live in our bodies. Yes, Father God. I rebuke all spirits of infirmity right now, regardless of where they're coming from. Infirmity is not from you, God. And you, Lord, you bore it. You bore our sickness. And I just thank you, Lord God, for that healing power being made manifest in our bodies. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now just take a minute there and thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing power working on the inside. Thank you, Jesus, for your power, for that healing touch, for that healing balm of Gilead. Yes, Father God. Amen. 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 And amen. Let me just check my clock real quick. All right. We still got some time left to discuss some sports, but that was good. And so as for the sports events, yesterday the Tigers swept a doubleheader in Boston for the first time since 1955. Cassidy, that's older than both you and I put together.
Yeah, isn't that 40 years older than me? I was born in 95.
You're not 24 yet. You're 23 and a half. Just over 23 and a half. So, but just in the case of years, we'll say you're 24. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but so 24. 66, 24, that would be 95, 55, 40 years older than you, yes. So that would have been 64 years ago. 64 years. A bit less than three times your age, a bit more than... And still a bit more than twice mine. But because even you, and you and I combined, that's still 54. That's still 54 years, so about 11 years short. 64 years. Think about that. Since then, the Tigers have won two World Series and appeared in the World Series four times. So that was pretty cool, nonetheless, to win that doubleheader. That was really cool. That's it. Got that done. The final score last night was 4-2. Was your final last night there at Fenway in Boston. Tigers are playing right now in Boston again. And I will be tuning in when I get home on Sunny 97.7 FM. That's a new Tigers affiliate, by the way. So up here in this market, there's three possible stations you can tune in on. Here in the Saginaw Bay City area, you can listen on 790 AM WSGW. If you are in the Mount Pleasant, Alma area, you can listen on 104.9 WQBX. If you're in the Midland, Beaverton, Gladwin area, you can listen on Sunny 97.7 WMRX out of Beaverton. And you can hear the great voices of Dan Dickerson and Jim Price. And they do a nice job. They really do. They've done us right. Those of us who are Tigers fans, I mean, that's what I mean when I say they've really done us right for the past 16 years that they've been doing that. And the enthusiasm that they bring. And if I was a play-by-play guy in that stadium, if I was the play-by-play guy talking to, describing the game to you listeners, would I be loud like Dan Dickerson is? Oh, yeah. Would I be as enthused as him? Oh, yeah. Would I say some things different? Maybe. I'd try to come up with my own little things instead of just saying, way back. I'd try to come up with something else. To the crack. To the monster, out. When I say out like that, that'll mean that a home run. No, let me rethink that. Let me think this back through again. Crack, green monster, crack, green monster, later gator. I like that better, don't you? Later gator, I like that better, don't you? Later gator, I like that. Because that out makes it sound like he actually got out, you know what I mean? Was it? Because that'd be like me calling it when Cabrera or any of the other Tigers has a good home run when the Tigers really need it. Maybe it's in the bottom of the eighth or bottom of the ninth at Comerica. Maybe it's the top of the 10th or something. Maybe they're in extra innings and they're at the top of the 10th inning in Minnesota or Cleveland. And then Cabrera gives them that boost. Or one of the other Tigers, Hicks. Or one of the other ones. Tigers. I'd be loud just like him, just like Dan Dickerson is, but I would say some things a little bit different. because you want to have your own identity. Okay? Okay. And then the Tigers play the White Sox again this coming weekend, which is odd because they just played the White Sox last weekend. So why did they do that? Guess what? I don't know. It's the way it is, though. The Lions never do that. The Lions never play. The Lions never play the Pack in Detroit one Sunday, and then the next Sunday got to go to Lambeau to play the Pack again. That's kind of odd, don't you think?
Yeah.
As to why it is that way, I don't know. But, well, it's how it is. It's just how it is this time. By the way, speaking of the Lions, there's track that they could talk that they could draft Kyle Busch or whatever the Busch guy's name. There's talk that they could draft him as one of their draft picks. Something I've noticed about this draft. There are so many good quarterbacks in this draft. A lot of good ones. This college football quarterback was class this past year was extremely heavy on quarterbacks. Extremely heavy. And many of these are going into the NFL, including that guy from the team state to the south of us, Dwayne Haskins. Do I think it'd be a bad idea if Detroit were to get someone like a Haskins? No. No. He might be a good Stafford backup anyway. The areas that they most need to work on is they could use another good running back, another good wide receiver, and then most importantly is a good, solid defensive left tackle that can just get right to that quarterback, can get to Rodgers in Green Bay, get to Minnesota's quarterback, get to Chicago's quarterback, get to these other quarterbacks around the league as they play their games. And it needs to, this season needs to be about, have one goal in mind. And if I was a coach, if I was the Lions coach, I'd be writing on a board in the locker room of, I'd have it written at our training facility, and then I would have this also written down in the locker room at Ford Field. What I would write down is NFC North champions, player and playoff hosts. You say, well, Coach Shukla, why would you write that down? Well, the Bible tells us when we have a vision, make it plain. Write it down so people are aware. Make those players aware. No, the Bible didn't say football players, but I would write that vision, that goal on that blackboard. In that locker room. And on a wall in that training facility out there in Allen Park. So that they'll be reminded of that when they come to practice. And then on Sunday in the locker room at Ford Field, they'll be reminded of that as something to work towards. As after all, in my mind, if Stafford, Bob Quinn, and Matt Patricia want to stay together, this season has to be playoffs or bust. It's got to be playoffs or bust. Otherwise, they might have to at least get rid of one of these guys. So, with that, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I'll see you on Monday. Good night, everyone.